Good morning, everybody. It was good to see everybody yesterday, and it's good to have David and Elizabeth and Levi and Evan with us this morning. I'm thankful for these men who've allowed me to stand up here and speak. I'm just a lowly servant. That's all I am, a minister. And I need you to judge me on the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you would, please turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Just going to read one verse. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I want to start this by asking a question, and I want to say up front, the answer to this question means much more than the question itself, which I hope to show. But the question is this: can an Arminian be saved? Some who hear this immediately respond with something like this: God does not save men with lies. With this statement, I wholeheartedly agree. But it's really not answering the question at hand.
Exactly.
It's also been said that someone who says an Arminian can be saved, that they who say that are not saved either. They say this is preaching peace, peace, where there is no peace. And this just brings a couple of passages to mind. Proverbs 18:13, it says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." And then the other one that comes to my mind is, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." James 1:9. I want to look at Scripture as it relates to the question and in light of our passage in 2 Timothy 2:19 to see what Scripture says about who can be saved, and then I want to look at how and when they are saved. Can we know who can be saved? I want to look at God's Word to see what it says about salvation and the recipients of that salvation. First, who will be saved? Whom God chose will be saved.
Amen.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, before the foundation of the world, purposed to choose a people in Christ.
Amen.
Think about this. God is eternal and never has a new thought. So He has always chosen His people in Christ. Ephesians 1:4-7 says this: "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." So, those to whom God chose are the same ones Christ died for, and those will be saved. So those for whom Christ died for will be saved. Who are those that Christ died for that will be saved? In Romans 5:6, we read this: "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." And again in Romans 5:8, it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So we see Christ died for the ungodly and sinners. But again we see in 1 Timothy 1:15, it says this: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Amen.
So ungodly and sinners will be saved. But we also read those who will be saved will be those whom God calls. God Almighty has been pleased for those whom He chose and for whom Christ died to call them unto Himself. In Acts 2:39 it says this, "For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." In Matthew 9:13 it also says, "But go ye and learn what meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am come to call the righteous. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Amen.
Now, who are these sinners that God chose, Christ died for, and are called of God? What are some of the characteristics, you might say, of them who God calls? Because these are they who will be saved. Those of a contrite spirit. God will break these people down so much so that they have nowhere to go, nowhere else to turn, and they will come to the end of their self. In Psalm 34:18 it says this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit."
Amen.
So those of a broken heart and contrite spirit will be saved. What do those who have this characteristic do? They call on Him.
Yes.
And we read, those who call on the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Those who call on Him, Psalm 55:16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Psalm 86:5 says this, "For Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." Again in Psalm 145:18 we read, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." In Acts 2:21 it says this, "And it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Again in Romans 10:13 we read, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, we see that whom God chose, whom Christ died for, whom He calls, whom are sinners, whom are of a contrite spirit, whom call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So now let's look at those who we have seen from Scripture that will be saved. Now look at how and when they are saved. It's not too much different from what I've already given you. Those who are the recipients of salvation are made so by the same God who has and who will carry out that salvation.
Right.
And He will do it for whom He is pleased to do so. So first, when Christ died on the tree, they were saved. In Hebrews 9:12 it says this, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us."
Yes.
So He obtained redemption for us.
Amen.
Redemption is salvation. So when Christ died for those whom He chose, they were saved. When were we chosen in Christ? And why do I say this? Because we were chosen in Christ before the world began. But Scripture also tells us this, that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In Revelation 13, it ends that verse, 13:8, it says, "Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." In God's mind, when He thinks something is, it is as good as done. His thoughts are eternal and they never change. So we were saved in eternity.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That's hard to understand, hard to wrap your mind around. However, we are not God and our thoughts are not like His. We are altogether become unprofitable and have every one turned to his own way, so we have to be revealed this glorious thought of God in time. Just as God was pleased to send forth His Son in time to actually die for us. He was a man, just like me. Flesh and blood, skin and bones. But also in time. When the gospel is preached to them, the ones He has chosen, He sends them the gospel, and it comes to them, in power and much assurance. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So salvation is by sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And last of all, we read, when Christ returns. Hebrews 9:28 says this, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time with sin unto salvation." How do we know that these are those whom I've been speaking? Well, in Revelation 7:14 we read this, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful."
Amen.
Last of all, we read in 1 Peter 1:5, it says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Someone might say you have people being saved several times. No, God has saved me, and he does this for all those he chose from the foundation of the world. He has, he is, and he shall save me to the uttermost.
Amen.
He has utterly saved my soul from hell and the grave, so that I will one day awaken his likeness. He saved me, he is saving me, and he will save me. Again, can you imagine that? So, God has determined who will be saved, as well as proved or shown us in his word the how and when they are saved. Now, let me ask a few more questions and forget about what our natural mind thinks about it and consider what God has said about the matter. Can a harlot be saved? I know of at least three in Scripture, and one is still called a harlot to this day. Can a Catholic be saved? I know one right here. Can a Baptist be saved? I know several of those who have been. Can someone under sovereign grace be saved? I know several of them that have, but have all? Can a Pharisee of Pharisees be saved? Turn with me to Acts 9, please. Acts 9. And I want you to pay attention here to this one little word. It's been said here before. This one little word in the first verse. "And Saul, yet, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if any be found in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The answer only comes from God, and if he is willing. Because all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned every one to their own way. So much so that our iniquity had to be laid on him. He must turn us before we will be saved. But who he turns is up to him. Just think about this in Psalm 80. You don't have to turn to it, but three times in Psalm 80 it says this, Turn us again. The first time it says, O God. The second time it says, O God of hosts. And the third time it says, O Lord God of hosts. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now, I want to come back briefly to the statement where some say that saying an Arminian can be saved is preaching peace, peace, where there is no peace. Peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. Amen. If I tell a man that peace is found in Jesus Christ, I am telling him the truth, whether he is Arminian or otherwise. But what is speaking peace, peace, where there is no peace? Speaking peace, peace, where there is no peace, is telling someone that they are okay who has no idea who Christ is. That they can walk after the imaginations of their own heart and no evil will come upon them. You can look at Jeremiah 23:17 to see if what I'm telling you is true. But that is speaking peace, peace, where there is no peace. But if I tell them that the only place where they can ever find peace is in the face of Jesus Christ, I am telling them the truth. Christ is our peace. Christ made peace. God Almighty tells us to go and preach the gospel of peace to all who will hear. If a man or a woman has been given life from God, and God sends them the truth, even yet while they are breathing out threatenings against God and against his people, if he gave them life and they hear this message, they will be saved. His arm is not so short that it cannot save. This world does not have anything that can stand in his way. He can get the gospel to them regardless of what obstacle you or I might think is in the way. His gospel will knock down any wall of rebellion against him, causing them to lay down their arms against him. God knoweth them that are his, and he will if he has chosen them, sending Christ to die for them, and in causing them to come to the end of themselves, Arminian, harlot, Pharisee, or whoever they might be. You know, I may never see this happen, but God sometimes allows us to see his work being done and seeing someone turn to Christ and it being manifest in them believing God about who he is and what he has done. And they take sides with God against themselves, knowing what a wretch they are. So, can an Arminian be saved? The answer is no. If God did not choose them in Christ before the world began, Christ not dying for them, and they never being sent the gospel in power and much assurance, so then not believing him and bowing down to him, thinking themselves to be in control of their destiny, those will not be saved. But the answer is yes, if they are chosen in Christ before the world began, Christ having died for them, and him sending them the gospel, sending the gospel to them with power and his spirit, causing them to believe him and bowing down to him in his gospel, causing them to take sides with God against themselves, then these are saved. I have to answer this question this way. I don't know if an Arminian can be saved for sure or not, but nor do I know if a Catholic, Baptist, Pharisee, harlot, Sovereign Grace Assembly attendee, or anyone else can be saved. But I can say with Scripture, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And what is this foundation? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God in Isaiah 28, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That precious cornerstone is Christ. He will in his own time bring them to know his Son. My prayer is that if there's someone here or someone that might hear this, that this sovereign almighty God who does show mercy will be pleased to show mercy to another sinner such as I am. Because if he does for you what he did for me, being an Arminian at heart, if he does this for you, you will be saved. And Christ Jesus the Lord has made it so by taking your sins to himself, so that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. He has for his people given them life so that they hear this glorious gospel and of his dear Son, so that he has saved them to the uttermost. What answer are you looking for? Amen. Dear glorious, merciful God the Father, thank you for your Son and your glorious gospel that we can hear of him, that we might be bowed down to him and serve him. Oh, dear Lord, help us to continue to look to Christ, to love one another, to support each other in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And all these things we ask. Amen.